Amen. I titled this sermon, Believing God Produces Righteousness. Believing God Produces Righteousness. And I went back there to change the title and found Patty had written about 10 CDs with this long title. And I was going to change the title to Original Intent. Original Intent. So turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 4. Let's begin reading. Hey, by the way, is it not good to see Dave Allen back in the service? He's a shell of the man he used to be, but we're going to pass a list. Anybody would like to give him 3 or 4 pounds, we're just going to pass that list around. I am first on that list, okay? Romans chapter 4. He says, "What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as a debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believed, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. And the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised." I know you're thinking this is going to be a good sermon. I wish I could preach it. How many volunteers do I have? I'd like to preach this one. Yeah, that's the way Monday when I read this thing, I thought, oh dear Jesus, what am I going to say about this? So let's pray. And you may want to pray a little bit harder today. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Sometimes it's a little bit difficult to understand. Sometimes we don't just get it readily. But Lord, as we dig deep into your Word, there's truth there. And I pray today, Jesus, that the Holy Spirit exposes the truth of Romans chapter 4 so that we get it, so that we embrace it and it changes our life, God. So Lord, you know that we are Westerners and maybe we don't quite get this Eastern thought, Father, but today we just lay our heart and our mind on the altar of Christ and we say, Lord, we're willing to believe and we're willing to receive today what the Holy Spirit has for us. So, Lord, my prayer is, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to remind you that righteousness is the state of moral perfection that God requires to be in his presence. Moral perfection. You got to get that. Is anybody here morally perfect? No. So what do we need then? We've got to have an exchange, right? Mandy, it's good to see you. Girl, we've been missing you. You've had a little bit of a deal too, haven't you? Bless your heart. So they come to Paul and they're asking these questions and they go back to Abraham and they say, but Abraham was made righteous by circumcision, wasn't he? And so what's the question here? original intent. You get this? This is, those two words are critical for this sermon. I want to know the original intent. Do you know that when we interview people for the Supreme Court, we want to know some things about them, right? We want to know, do you take the Constitution and you make it say something else, or you take it back to original intent? And we want them to take it back to the original intent, right? So sometimes we'll say, well, how did George Washington think? What was our founding father like? We want to go back in history and find out, when they first wrote this Constitution, what did it mean? That's exactly what these Jews are saying. We want to know what Abraham did. Did his actions produce righteousness? No. You good old Pentecostal people better listen to me today, because you've been taught this. You've been taught it's all about what you do. And we've been taught wrong. It's about what you believe. And this is a slippery slope, because what you believe leads to action. But it's not the action that saves us. We are saved by grace. Guys, it's so much more than just salvation. See, everything that God has in store for you is not because you're good. It's not because you had a good week. It's not because, you know, I took communion today, or I did this, or I baked a cake for my neighbor, or I didn't lie this week. I didn't cuss once this week. Whew, bless God, you need me teaching Sunday school. So when we have a good week, we come to the Lord. Lord, look what I've done. You're standing in your own righteousness. And when you have a bad week, we come to the Lord like, I'm a dirty dog. I don't deserve anything from you. You know, the truth is, you never did deserve anything from the Lord. It's by grace you're saved. It's by grace you're healed. It's by grace that you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's by grace He prospers you. It's by grace that He helps you in every problem you have. It's by grace that you have been married so many years. Oh, quit patting yourself on the back and telling you how good you are. It's by grace. Thank God for His grace. So they said, what did Abraham do? And he said, he quotes this verse. It says, Abraham believed God. Isn't that interesting? Well, come on now, you gotta be asking yourself this question. It's gotta be more complicated than this. Right? Come on, Pastor. You're making things, spiritual things, too simple. Believe God. Do you know it's hard to believe God? You know it's really hard to trust Him, not to try to figure everything out. You know, Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, that's it. Do you believe that Jesus come out of that grave? You shall be saved. He takes your actions right out of the picture. And maybe that's not a big deal. But my actions haven't been so righteous. I'm thankful that I'm not going to heaven because I've been good. I'm going to heaven because He's good. And I believe He came out of that grave. The word believe and faith are the same Greek word, pistis. And believe is more than mental assent. Does that make sense? It's more than just what you think. I remember John Dale telling me one time, and he was talking to this young man who had been raised up as a Mormon, I believe, and he was converting to Christianity. And so John Dale was leading him to this and taking him through some truths of the Word of God. And this young man kept saying, I can believe that. I can believe that. Yeah, I can believe that. And John finally stopped and he said, son, I'm not asking you what you can believe. I'm asking you, do you believe? That's a pretty good question. There's some things that just needs to be settled in our heart. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe He died on the cross for my sin. And I believe on the third day He came out of that grave. I believe He sits at the Father's right hand. I believe He prays for me. He intercedes for me. And I believe that He's caused me to be victorious. And everything good that you see in me, I believe it's Christ in me. Amen. Scriptures tells us that Abraham was justified, made right by what he believed. Our lives play out according to what we believe. Think about that. What you believe really matters because it will affect your actions. If you believe that your wife is cheating on you, you'll treat her different. Are you getting me? If you believe that I preach half truth and half other things, you'll be different. You probably won't be here long. Right? What you believe matters because you act upon your belief. Where do we get our beliefs? We're taught things. We're taught things by mama, by grandma. Those of you that were privileged to have a father, you've been taught things by your father. Some things are correct and some things are not. We're also taught by our circumstances. Sometimes we go through something really rough and it sort of sets this thing in our mind, right? That could be godly, could not be godly. Do you know if you grew up without a dad, you probably don't trust men? Probably have a problem with that. If you grew up with an abusive dad, you may have a problem trusting men, and you may have a problem trusting God. Aren't you thankful that God can change those thoughts? Amen. So they're going back to the original tent, and they're saying, well, what did Abraham believe? Can we just do that real quickly? Can we just go back to Genesis chapter 12? Now, this is probably, what, maybe 1,500 years after creation. Remember, Enoch lived to be almost 1,000 years old. And we had, the world got really wicked. God destroyed the earth through rain, raised up Noah, created a godly seed. Then we have the Tower of Babel. Early on, then, we have Abraham comes on the scene. What was Abraham? An idolater. Abraham wasn't good. I hope you get this. God's not looking for good people. He's looking for people that will believe. And then in Genesis chapter 12, now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I'll show you. And you know what? Abraham did it. And he said this, you can write these numbers, seven things, seven blessings. Why is this important? Because Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 says that Jesus became a curse for you so that the blessing of Abraham could be yours. So this blessing that's spoken to Abraham is now your blessing. Whew, I thought that might get an amen or a shout. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Isn't that amazing? Spoke that to a man that didn't have a son, didn't have an heir, you know, that could take it forward. Once we start this route of faith, we don't want to switch. We don't want to go back. In other words, let me say it something like this. God's got one method of blessing us. He doesn't have a different method to receive healing than He does to have salvation. Stay with faith. Okay. This is not a 6,000-year-old problem. It's a problem today. Because we're still trying to make things that were supposed to be symbols as an element of salvation. Do you know there's an entire denomination that will teach you that you're not saved until you're baptized? But what's baptism? Baptism is a symbol of what Jesus has already done in your heart. What was circumcision? It was a symbol. It was not the saving grace. Now, they got it backwards in their mind because it was demanded. Well, guess what? Christ wants you to be baptized. He was baptized. He wants you to be baptized. Baptism is not an option. It's essential. Why? Because you're being obedient, but it's not essential to salvation. So not make it that. There's another entire denomination that says if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. No! I'm sorry, that's wrong. You're making a work essential to salvation. It's wrong. And so all these things we start building up into the church, then when people come in, we say, you got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do this. You need to clean up. You need to cut your hair. You don't need to wear this. You don't need to do that. Where what's the truth? The truth is, believe God. He made it so simple for us. And I'm so thankful because I'm a simple man. So I like simple truths. Do you know there's four words in this chapter that are actually one word, one Greek word. And they're all an accounting term. Can we turn on some air before I pass out? It's on. Well, let's get something stirring up here. The word is imputed, accounted, reckoned, counted. They're all from one Greek word, and you don't want me to try to pronounce that. But I can tell you the first part of it means word, logo. That means word, logomai, something like that. It means to take an inventory. It's an accounting term. And God is a great accountant. And he came not because of you deserve it. It's not what you deserve. It's what he has done. It says, I am giving this to you. I'm imputing this to you. I give you my righteousness, not yours. After that, they move on and they go to David. And they said, okay, well, we're starting getting it about Abraham, but how about David? I mean, David was the king, right? David was a great man. David was a murderer and adulterer. You can sing his praises, but let's remember he was a man. And a man at best is just a man. Are you getting this? I don't know, but if you've got a past, you're in pretty good company. Because all through the scriptures, God used ordinary sinful men to bring them up to God. In their weakness, God shows his strength. So that ought to bring you comfort. Because maybe you've been saying, oh, I'm just not that smart. I'm not this and I'm not that. And I don't know God's word that well and I'm not real spiritual. You know, I determined a long time ago, I'll let God be spiritual and I'm just going to be me. I don't like to act spiritual. And I don't like to be around people that act spiritual. Let's let God be spiritual. I'm natural. He's supernatural. And when he adds his super to my natural, that's when I get a little strange. And that's okay. I like it. Psalms 32 said this. This is David writing. He says, blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven. Don't you know that David is writing that out of a heart of true repentance? Come on, guys. David's saying, blessed, happy, thankful is the man who God does not impute their sin to them, but their transgression is forgiven. Listen to the rest of this. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. And when I kept silence, when I tried to conceal my sin, my bones grew old through my groaning all day long. For day and night my hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Anybody been there before? I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me the iniquity of my sin. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is a man who really blew it. This is a man that Scripture says was a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart could commit adultery and have her husband killed? That's the story. That's the truth. Can we do bad things as Christians? Absolutely. So what is God's reaction? How does God view us when we blow it? Son, I want to forgive you. Ask me to forgive you. So much to the point that David tried to conceal his sin. He didn't think anybody knew this. He didn't think anybody knew the story. I'll just hide it. But God knew. Hebrews says everything is laid open and bare before the Lord. And God sent a man to talk to David, a prophet by the name of Nathan. He came and he talked to David. He said, you're the man. He told him a story and got David's dander riled up. And David started bringing judgment. And Nathan said, by the way, you're the guy. You're the guy that stole somebody's sheep when you had a whole pasture. You had a whole herd, and you had to steal this guy's only sheep. You're that guy. And David's heart broke before God. Let me tell you something. Repentance is so blessed. It's so positive. It's not a negative thing. When we come to church and I, at the end of the service, I say, let's repent before the Lord. Let's get these things out. I am saying this is the best moment of your week. Get your heart clean with the Lord. And I would tell you to do it. Walk in that. Don't wait for Sunday to ask the Lord to forgive you of what you did on Monday. And some of you won't make it out of the parking lot before you sin. So don't wait 7 whole days. Just before you get to the street, say, Jesus, forgive me. I blew it again, but it's that woman you gave me, Lord. Righteousness comes as a result of your beliefs, not a result of your works. It's what you believe. What you believe. Belief is mental, but it leads to obedience. It leads to following. If I believe that chair will hold me up, I'll sit in it. If I believe that chair won't hold up this little frame, then I won't sit in that chair. I'll say, get me a better chair. True faith leads to action. Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place where he would receive an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. God didn't tell him the destination. He just said, I want you to leave. And he said, okay, I'll do that. Are you following God? It's really interesting. I met a man this week as taking the grandkids to the park, and this gentleman was coming up behind us, and he had this shirt on. It said, God plus man equals greatness. And I looked at him, I said, I love the shirt, and I believe it. And he said, absolutely. And I was pushing a stroller, and he come back to me in a few minutes. He said, is your heart right with God? I said, yes, sir. I don't tell people I'm a pastor, because they talk to you different if they think you're a preacher. I just let them think that I'm just anybody, because I am just anybody. And he said, is your heart right with God? I said, yes, sir. And he said, how about your wife? And I said, I don't know about her, but no. 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 He did ask me about her. I said, yes, sir. We're on good ground. He began to tell me a story. He said, years ago, he said, I lived in California, military retiree. And he said, there was a guy out pushing a stroller. And the Lord spoke to my heart. And he said, go tell that man about me. And he said, I wouldn't do it. He said, day after day, every time I'd see him, my heart would be prompted, go talk to him. He said, I never would do it. He said, then one day I heard about an accident or about something bad happening a little ways away. And he said, it was that man. He said, that man decided to kill himself and kill the two kids that he was walking with. He said, that story has haunted me all my life. Why didn't I tell him about Jesus? He said, I decided right then and right there, if I ever get prompted, I'm going to talk to that person. And I said, sir, I admire you. You keep talking about Jesus because it's what the world needs. Actions follow beliefs. James said it this way. He said, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it's dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. It's easy to get the cart before the horse. Which one comes first, the chicken or the egg? Actions are works. Our faith are works. Sometimes we try to work for the faith. Doesn't work that way. You have faith and it produces work. I know that sounds like I'm just messing with you. You know, there's a verse in John chapter 14, and I've always thought of it in a different way. And he says, Jesus said this, he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I've always heard that as sort of as a threat. I've always heard it like this in my mind. If you love me, prove it. Keep my commandments. And then all of a sudden, I realize I need to take that back because I think the Lord said it totally different. I think he said it like this. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Isn't that different? I don't have to prove I love him by what I do. But if there's genuine love there, it's going to follow suit in my actions. Why? Actions follow beliefs. I'm not working for salvation. I'm not work. Is this? Can you just nod your head a little bit for me? I'm not working to be righteous. I've been made righteous. Thank you, Jesus. You know what fear is? We all know about fear. We all know about anxiety, right? It's perverted faith. Do you know fear is a belief? You've got an erroneous belief in your heart that's producing fear and anxiety. God wants to deal with that perverted thought, that perverted belief that's causing this anxiety. God's not giving you the spirit of fear. Come on. If God hadn't given it to you, let's not take it. Let's identify it. Do you know how many decisions people make out of fear? How many women have married because they think their time clock is running out? Well, he's got all of his own teeth. I'll take him. I think he probably ought to up the ante just a little bit. You know, Mark chapter 11, verse 22, it says this. Jesus is talking to people and he says, have faith in God. One version says that closer to the Greek is have the faith of God. Man, wouldn't I love that? Rick Renner says, faith denotes a force that is forward directed and aggressive. It's never passive or reaching back. It always reaches forward to a goal or a prize. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's what Hebrews tells us, right? Faith is substance. Faith is evidence. Faith is not pie in the sky, and faith is not a wish. Faith has substance. In other words, there's a reason I believe what I believe. And it's not some kind of thing that I made up. It's grounded in the Word of God. I went to the book, which the book says this is truth. It's not what Hollywood tells you, folks. It's not what People Magazine says. It's what this book says. We need to discard all the junk that's in our mind and start replacing it with the truth of the Word of God. Because I don't know about you, I want to see God move in my life. We need to believe that God exists. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to believe God. For he who comes to him must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Where's that come from? God puts it in your heart. God has deposited in every person an element of faith. I believe it's the faith to believe that he is. We need to believe that God is good. Lamentations 3:22 says, though the Lord's mercies were not, through the Lord's mercy were not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says the Lord. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait on him, to the soul who seeks him. God's mercy is new every morning. Thank the Lord, because I have stupids every day. How about you? I got a new load of stupid coming in, so I need God's grace and mercy every day. We need to believe that God hears me when I pray. 1 Peter 3:12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. And some of you said, well, I believe that. I just don't believe I'm the righteous. But you are, because God made you that way. We need to believe that God cares about you. You please say that. God cares about me. I'm not going to go on until every one of you says, God cares about me. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Do you understand? That's truth. I don't care what your mind says. I don't care what thought you have going on, this reel that's going on in your mind that says God doesn't care about me. That's not true. What's true is what he says. He says he cares about you. We need to believe that God is able. Able to do what? Whatever you need. I believe God will move heaven and earth if he has to answer your prayer. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly. I love this because I'm thinking when I read this verse, I always think, man, the Holy Spirit couldn't get enough adjectives in there, right? He goes on, he says, now to him who is able to do. That would have been good enough. But then he says, exceedingly, abundantly, above all you ask or think. I'm going to tell you, I'm a thinker. Especially when it comes to thinking about what God can do for me. God, I got you a list, buddy. I got a list on how you can bless me. He says, the last words are the words that we normally leave out of this when we quote this verse, according to the power that works in us. Do you realize who you are in Christ? Do you realize that when you get saved, the Spirit of God comes and lives inside of you? The Spirit of God that's able to change your world. Change your words, change your world. I told Treva the other day, I said, I don't get it. I said, I've looked back over the last years of ministry when I became a pastor, and I said, historically I do 3 weddings a year. I said, 1 year I did 5, but usually I do 3 weddings a year. And I said, I've only done 1 wedding this week. This year. And I said, I don't get it. Within 2 days, I got 2 more weddings. So within the last 10 days, I have preached 3 weddings. Be careful what you say. You're going to make yourself some work is what you're going to do. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, that having all sufficiency. Now see right there. If you just grab those few words, having all sufficiency, God is able. You get this? Having all sufficiency, he is able. He's got everything you need. Peter says that. Having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. You need to believe that God wants a relationship with you. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates His love for us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You need to believe that God is willing. God is able. I think most of us would say that. I believe God's able. I believe God's able. Where do we mess up? Is He willing? God's able to heal me, but is He willing? There's a story in Scripture. This story is told almost in every gospel. But I'm reading it out of Mark chapter 9, verse 17. He says, Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. Luke tells us it's epilepsy. Whenever he seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth and gnashes his teeth. And he becomes so rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out. They couldn't do it. He answered him and said, O faithless generation. Jesus answered the disciples, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to Jesus. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. He asked his father, he said, how long has this been happening to him? And dad said, since childhood. Often it throws him both into the fire and into water, trying to destroy him. But if you can do anything, Jesus, if you can do this, have compassion on us and help us. Have you ever come to Christ and said, if you can fix this, will you fix it? Jesus said to him, if you can believe, come on. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Man, I identify with this daddy. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help me with this unbelief. When Jesus saw that people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. He became as one dead, so that many said, is he dead? Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he rose up. You see, the book of Hebrews chapter 3 says, it calls a heart of unbelief evil. And I find that we tolerate unbelief in the church. We don't realize it's evil. See, for you to doubt God, it's evil. It's evil. If you don't identify it as evil, you'll put up with it. You'll let it stay. But once you begin to see that your unbelief is evil in the sight of God, you'll start demanding it to leave. And when it leaves, power is coming your way. I love the honesty of this man. He said, God, I believe. But I am dealing with this nagging unbelief. I'm dealing with this. Come on, can you identify? I find unbelief nags us. Man, when you're going through something really difficult, you've got the biggest challenge of your life. It's staring you in the face and it's hollering at you constantly. You can't do it. You can't do it. You're a failure. Sometimes we start believing that nonsense rather than saying, stop it. I won't listen to you any longer. I cast that voice out of my mind because the Bible says, if I believe, I can do all things. Nothing is impossible to him who believes. Let's let the rubber hit the road. You want a good marriage? Start believing. You want to be healed? Start believing. Identify the unbelief. Identify it. And then tell the devil to take a hike. I'm not believing that anymore. You know what I believe? I believe I'm a child of the King. I believe God loves me. I believe He is able. I believe He is willing. I believe He will do it. That ain't the way we think, folks. Come on. Let's get just a little honest in the place. I'm not sure that the Lord didn't give me this cancer to teach me a lesson. Where do you think that came from? I'm going to tell you where it came from. It came from the pit of hell. God doesn't give cancer. God doesn't give disease. Every good and perfect gift is from above. That's what James says. God only gives good gifts. God is benevolent. He's kind. He loves you. Why? If you, being a regular earthly father, wouldn't give a bad gift to your kids, what makes you think the heavenly Father would give you something evil? God doesn't dip into Satan's tool bag and give you depression. If you're dealing with anxiety and dealing with depression and dealing with this darkness, it's not good. Why is that so important? Because you won't fight it as long as you believe it's from God. You'll put up with it. What are you trying to teach me, God? God ain't trying to teach you anything. The devil's trying to kill you. God wants you to have life. That's His word. Abundant life, not just in heaven right now. We're going to live on streets of gold. We're going to have a mansion. We're going to sing and shout for the rest of our life, but I want it to start now. Whew. Lord, you're going to have to take some of this weight off. So here's my mind. Lord, I think I need more faith. If faith does this, God, I need more faith. You know the disciples asked that question? You know they did, right? Do you know when they did? Well, no. It's when, I think it was Peter, it said, Jesus, am I supposed to forgive people 7 times? Because I got this guy at number 6, and I'm getting ready to punch his lights out. Jesus said, not 7, 70 times 7. You know what Peter said? Can you increase my faith? I'm serious. You get it? I can't do it. I can't forgive 70 times 7. I am ready to light this guy up. I can't do this. God, will you increase my faith? You know what Jesus said to that? He said, do you know it's faith the size of a mustard seed? It's one of the smallest seeds ever. It's like a little BB. Hard as a rock. If you have faith like this, you'll say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it'll hop on over there. You know what I think he's saying? You don't have to increase your faith. It's already there. It's there. Don't increase it. Just start using it. Just use it. Use what you got. What's the Bible say? Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Put the Word of God in massive doses, because you're getting way too much of the world. You got so much world coming in at you. You need the Word. You need the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. What happens? You ever heard... A lot of pastors get up and they read about a half of a scripture and they'll preach to you for a 30-minute sermon. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I don't do that. Most of my sermons will have 25 or 30 verses. I've go long passages. Why? Word, 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 word. I'm trying to drive it in. You know why? Because when I was 16 years old, We had a pastor that preached that way. I didn't read my Bible much when I was 16. But every time I went to church, which was all the time, that pastor preached the word. Brother Daryl Ramsey. He just kept pushing the word in my heart. Someone said, "How do you have so much Bible memorized?" And I said, "When I was a young guy, this preacher kept pushing the word of God in my heart." Buddy, I'm going to tell you, I'm intentional about the way I preach. I know I'm not the greatest preacher, but when you come to this church, you're getting word. You're getting word, word, word. Why? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. So that when you have a problem on life, I am praying that that word starts coming out of you. It's what's in you. When I squeeze you, what comes out? Let's not answer that. When you get squeezed by life, something's going to come out of you. And I'm praying it's the word of God. Stand with me. The Jews was asking this question. What's the original intent? Please listen. God did not change methods from Old Testament to New Testament. It has always, always, always been your belief. Abraham was considered righteous because of what he believed. You have been made righteous because of what you believe. I believe that Jesus died, and on the third day, he rose from a grave. And that same resurrection power is now dwelling in me. Therefore, I believe that I can overcome anything that Satan throws at me. I may lose a battle once in a while, but the war is already won. All I've got to do is stand. Stand in that faith. Stand in that belief. Are you getting this? Why did God fill his book with so many stories? Because we relate to stories. Come on, did you not relate to that man? Did you not relate to that father who says, "I believe, but help me. Man, this is plaguing my mind." Told you that story before about my son who had the biggest test in his life, and he kept calling us hour after hour through the night. "Dad, help me, help me, help me. I can't help you, son. But I know who can." You've got to trust him. As I look across this congregation, I was talking to Larry and Ruth the other day, and we were talking about how some denominations move their pastors every so often. Some of them is every 2 years. And Larry said it. He said they move them because they get to know the congregation too much. I know you. I know some of you really well. I know you're not perfect. I know you have challenges. I know there's people with arthritis in this church. There's people with cancer. Danny's got a back problems right now. I know. You get me? I know what you're facing. And I know that he is able. And he is willing. If I ask you to come forward, I would hope that every person would come forward. Because we're all in this boat together. So I'm just going to ask you, let's pray. And I think the prayer that that old man said is pretty appropriate. Lord, help my unbelief. Help me to act on that little bitty seed that's in my heart, that seed called faith. Isn't that a good prayer? Jesus, we come before you today. Lord, I thank you that Abraham was made righteous by what he believed. I thank you, Lord, that that's true even to this day. We're not made righteous because we've been baptized. We've not been made righteous because of anything that we have done. We have been made righteous because Jesus became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. Oh, Lord, that just brings up a hallelujah in me every time I think of it. I thank you, Lord, it's by grace that I've been saved. By grace I've been healed. By grace you have made me the man that I am today. And yet, God, even though I've been serving you for over 50 years, God, I'm still plagued by unbelief. So first of all, I want to say, God, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, that I have allowed that to stay. And forgive me that I've acted on unbelief many times. And I'm praying, Lord, just as the Father in the Scripture said, Lord, help my unbelief. Would you do it anyway, God? Would you heal me anyway? Would you deliver me from my problems? Would you give me wisdom today? Would you make me a better husband? Would you make me a better father? God, just make me a better human being. I just want you to know that the answer is yes. God will. Can we just say, Lord, I receive forgiveness and I receive the strength of the Word of God today in my heart. I believe, Lord, today that you're going to help me overcome whatever obstacle that I face. You're going to help me overcome it. In Jesus' name I pray. If you're not absolutely sure that you're born again, did you hear how simple it is? If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you believe that Jesus died for your sin, the Bible says if you confess, you know, most of us think about that saying, I've got to confess all my sins. This is going to take a little while. You know, that's not really what he's saying. He's not saying confess your sins. Your sin's getting ready to be wiped out. He's saying confess. Say what God says. Say what he says. Homologios is the name. Same word. Use the same word God does. Yes, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, I believe. I'm confessing. I believe that he died. I believe that he rose again. I believe that he will forgive me of my sin. I believe that he will set me right. I believe that I will become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's salvation, my friends. Not what you do. I don't care if you have long hair. I don't care if you have short hair. I don't care if you have tattoos. You may have a nose ring. I don't like them. I had a beautiful cousin that got her tongue pierced and talked like this with the life of her. Hey, Derek, how do you? I'm like, dear God. But it doesn't keep you out of heaven because it's not by works. It's not by works. It's by grace that you're saved. And everybody in this place ought to say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, Denny, would you come up? Good to have you, man.
Amen. God makes it so simple, doesn't he? So all we have to do is believe and confess. Don't forget the sign-up sheet for the ladies. That's next Saturday, right? Or this coming Saturday. The Saturday after today. The very next time we come to Saturday. Not next Saturday as in next week. But anyway, raise your hand and receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you and may he keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you.